Hello and welcome to a special presentation from In the Money Media. This is our show for Keeneland's races of Wednesday, April 17th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again, and joined by a man who's been doing a phenomenal job. If you're not reading him, what are you waiting for? Over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, he's been covering Oaklawn for us for their whole meet and been knocking it out of the park with very good analysis at Keeneland as well. Always a pleasure to welcome back to these airwaves, Eric Solomon. Eric, how are things?
Doing great, Peter. Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I was thinking of you as I made plans to attend a minor league baseball game over Memorial Day weekend. Tremendous honor. I have been invited by the Buffalo Bisons to throw out the first pitch on their Star Wars night over Memorial Day weekend. Perrin and I will be making the trip to Western New York. But one of these days, I got to get out to your ballpark because I've heard so many good things about it.
Absolutely. If you're in Baltimore over this week, and you're, I mean, I know it's a busy week, but so we're in town that week, and it's about just a short hour up 83, and you're pretty much right in there.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that. I'm going to go to the Orioles game, the day game on Wednesday, but let me look about coming out a day early. But so yeah, transitional time of the year for you, right? With teaching and baseball.
It is. This is a wild 2 months going on. Teaching during the day, which not today because I'm heading to the doctor after this, but teaching during the day, you know, working at the running our stand at the minor league baseball stadium in town in Harrisburg, and then also finding time to take care of Keeneland and Oaklawn, and next month Monmouth. We got it all going on here, making it happen.
I don't know how you do it, but I'm impressed and very grateful that you do. We're going to talk about doubles on this show. We'll each pick one and then we'll comment on the others, highlighting the fact that there's this great change in the takeout, 22% down to 15, incredibly player friendly. Other great thing, of course, about the doubles is the price discovery that's readily available in those probable pay windows. Where do you want to go with your double on this Wednesday card?
Start in race three. It's kind of one of the horses I have one of the stronger opinions on in the day. Six horse race three. I like the horse on the outside, Street Where You Live, a little bit of a price, 8-1 on the morning line. One start debuted last fall here at 7 furlongs. Always difficult, I think, for a horse to debut at that distance, and especially difficult when you have to face horses like Tarifa and Regulatory Risk.
Yes.
And then especially when you don't break well on top of it. So to me, I think that was a really, above average field for sure that she faced last year. Didn't run great, kind of passed a few horses late. But I saw enough there that I'd be willing to look at this one again in this spot. Trainer Philip Sims does really nice job with horses coming off the layoff. Gonna add Lasix here, going to two turns, mile and a 16th. And I just think that this is not a great field, small. Some of the shorter prices I'm just not really sold on. I'm not a big fan of the favorite Karen Colleen, and not crazy about Foreseeing the second choice there. And the first time starter might probably going to take some money, but George Arnold's horses tend to really need that first start. So I think by process of elimination, I think this is a nice horse in this race. Alex Achard, good jockey, kind of flying under the radar, wins a lot of races at Turfway. So that's going to be the key horse for me in that sequence. And then I see some long shots in both the second and the third and the fourth race as a possibility. So starting out at the second, I think there's a, on the morning line, number one, Mobster Gun, 20-1, I think is pretty interesting. First off, the claim for Jesus Escoval. Form kind of up and down, but when this horse is good, he's very good. I think the distance is not an issue. The mile and an eighth race for some $16,000 claimers, I don't see the distance being a problem. I think the rail is going to be beneficial in that spot. Has a decent race over this course. A win in a second place, and the off the board finish came with some horses that were significantly better than this. So I think that's a horse that makes some sense. And, one other thing, just that horses on dirt coming from Turfway Park have just been lights out at this meet. There are 18 winners so far at this meet, last race at Turfway, which
amazing.
That's a big change from, I think, recent years, especially since they've gone back from the synthetic to dirt. So the quality of racing over the winter at Turfway definitely improving, to see that many horses win who last raced there, especially with the surface switch, because a lot of times we don't know how to handle those. As handicappers, sometimes you just don't know what you're dealing with sometimes.
You're making a lot of good points. Let me jump in, Eric, and just say that I'm surprised that number is that good, but it does speak to this stated goal. Their sponsors, we're going to bring them back in the ship. They're not quite with us yet, waiting on some signed paperwork from our friends over at the KTDF, but that was a stated goal to create that year-round racing circuit in Kentucky. So it is very logical that those Turfway horses would be improving like that, and that's a really interesting case on a horse that's a very, very big price in the in the one Mobster Gun. I assume you wouldn't be standing alone. I assume this is the kind of thing where you've got your key horse in the third, so you look to spread with a few in the second and a few in the fourth. What other numbers would be on your tickets in this second race?
Absolutely. I looked at All West as a horse that made a lot of sense coming in from the fairgrounds for Keith DeSormo. Second off the claim, drops a little bit after struggling last time out. Another horse that has some success at this nine furlong distance, though. I think this horse has a good shot here, as well as the four, Candy for Carmel, shipping in from Santa Anita for Richard Baltus. The speed figure's definitely competitive with this group. I like horses on the inside in this spot. I think some of the horses on the outside are going to be up against it, initially from a trip standpoint. But I just think those three on the inside make the most sense in this race.
Yeah, I get it. One other I'd nominate for consideration, and maybe you have a knock on number six, Ministerial, but I did think this horse, with the speed second off that long layoff, might have a chance to run a little better and could have a pace edge. Obviously, you're thinking maybe some of those horses on the inside aren't going to make it so easy on Ministerial, but not a terrible one, I think, to include if you've got the budget there. At the Nick had 7-2 on the morning line. We'll see what the price ends up being, but I gave that one some count. Did you have a particular knock on that one, or was it just a question if you felt like there was more value with the ones you mentioned?
I do think that there's going to be a little more pace there. I really wonder about the distance for this horse.
That's fair.
Kawhi Katie, remember that horse, that the dam that kind of burst onto the scene, 10, 12 years ago. Some really impressive sprint races at Saratoga. I think it was fourth to Beholder in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies.
Yeah.
The runners that she produced really have not had a lot of success at two turns. So didn't love the comeback race at Aqueduct. Never easy to come back off that kind of layoff at a one-turn mile. And the fact that the horse was entered with the waiver probably at least tells me that it was kind of, Wesley Ward was looking maybe for a race at Keeneland. But again, I just question the distance for this horse, and I think the prices are going to be better elsewhere.
I think that's fair. Even looking at the mile and a 16th win over this course and distance, pace figure wise was slowing down late and only one ahead. So I'm not going to allow myself to be fully talked off, but I'm going to definitely be including some others as well as I follow you in there. Very excited about today. Really fun day if you're a baseball and horse racing person, because you get you can get the Keeneland on one TV, and then there's, I don't know, half a dozen 1 o'clock baseball games too. So there's going to be, including the Mets for me. So it's going to be a lot of fun here in the bunker with all six monitors going and all manner of sports going on. In your key race here, where you made a terrific case for Street Where You Live, the other one I wanted to mention to you in there as a possibility, and the way you're playing this, you probably don't have room for a lot in the way of backups, but Dynamism was the other one I was interested in this spot. I thought this horse ran all right, catching some money on debut, also going that tricky seven furlongs and sticking on well enough late that I thought she might be suited to the stretch out and distance to the mile and a 16th. So this might be the kind of thing where I play just a saver, cold, 3-6 exacta, or maybe I have some small combinations, at least with the prices in race two and race four, with a little bit of a line going through dynamism as well. From the fact that you didn't specifically say you were against that one, I am assuming you see dynamism as the main threat to your pick, the six street where you live in there. Is that fair to say?
That is exactly how I saw this race. I didn't mind that race at Laurel. I thought that was a solid race, debuting at 7 furlongs. Grand Motion always has horses that are kind of targeting this meet. The pedigree is definitely there. The barn, barn does really well getting horses to stretch out from one turn to two turns. Certainly liking a long shot on top in the second race, I would not mind backing up there in the doubles as well. But most of my money is going to be on the six in that third race.
Another positive on your six that we didn't talk about before, in addition to everything else, that last workout maybe signals readiness, though, that quick four in 47 and 4/5. She's almost like a first-time starter coming back for a trainer, like you said, that can excel getting them ready off a layoff. And I'm going to bet she's got a lot more speed than she showed first out. And even based on the pace map off that first race, isn't out of it on the time form pace map anyway. Very, very live 8-1 morning line shot with 8-1 street where you live. You mentioned you also play some doubles with street where you live into horses in the fourth. This is the baby race, and these races notorious for giving horse players fits. Do you have a strong-ish opinion in this one?
I don't know about strong-ish, but I do think it's an interesting race, and Wesley Ward has owned these races over the years. And so he's got one horse. He's got Bostonian, the four horse in this race. When you think about the horses that he sends here, this one is really not the prototypical two-year-old that he sends here. I kind of wonder where he has this horse ranked in his barn. They had him scheduled to run on opening day, ended up had two horses running, ended up starting Shoot It's True, and that horse ran off the screen there. So probably behind some of the other horses in the barn. But again, I can't dismiss anything that Ward sends to the track, even though there's probably not going to be any value here. Bernardini, not a very good first outsider with two-year-olds. I think only 6% winners in the two-year-old sprints. So... again, looking out, there's not a ton else that I like in this race. I did make a horse on the outside, just kind of like a crazy long shot as the top pick here, Into Inspiration, 30-1 on the far outside. Horses on the outer flow seem to be doing better, at least in the four races at the 4.5 furlong distance so far. So maybe post 12, maybe not so terrible in these races. Into Mischief, again, this horse was purchased with expectations, $300,000 purchase in September. Rafael Ramos, not a household name by any stretch of the imagination. And his first two runners, he's had a pair of two-year-olds here. Neither have really run particularly well. Both of them caught sloppy tracks last week, though, and the one that I think was working the best really seemed to be struggling to get over that track. This horse ran pretty, at least in the morning, the pretty competitive compared to the other horse in his barn. So I think this horse, from a pedigree standpoint, and from a workout standpoint, might be able to kind of pull off an upset, especially if the Ward horse isn't quite up to snuff.
Yeah.
So those are the two I'm going to go with on the A line. Jet Sweep Joe and Strumman, but they're both horses that make sense in here. Jet Sweep Joe is working well for Frosted, good first outsider. Paul McEntee only has one winner in 57 first time starters with 2-year-olds over the last several years. That winner did come here and actually is running in the fifth race today. But again, taking, if that horse is the second price, do I really want that short of a price on a barn that really struggles to win with debuting horses? But like I said, I am not seeing a ton else jumping off the page, so I'll probably back up there. And then Strumman is the only horse coming in here with experience. was a little slow out of the gate. Again, ran against that Wesley Warhorse Shoot It's True. Did pass some horses to get into second that day. Second time starters, so that one makes a little bit of sense too. So I'll back up with the 2 and the 9, and then 4, and then my long shot top pick is the 12.
Love it. I'm with Strumman in the spot. I definitely respect your case and will be using your 12 as well. I might stand against the Ward. I'll probably see how the Ward's being bet in the double. It just feels like the market tells you what you need to know. When the Wards in these races are tepid favorites, mm-hmm. I think they're a good bet against. When they're bet off the boards, they're very hard to ignore. Strumman, I just felt like that race is a little bit better than the paper suggests, given how good Shoot It True was, mm-hmm. masked, I think, the move. I think this horse really was making a move late, Strumman, in that mm-hmm. race, and it was a bit obscured in the running line by how much superior Shoot It True was to the rest. So sticking on okay that day with, I think this horse with a better break, with that experience, being bet 5-1 into the teeth of Shoot It True, there's a lot of arrows pointing in the Strumman direction for me. I'll quickly talk about mine just because there's not that much to say. I think there's a situation late in this card where you can bet on the best horses and maybe get a double that's going to pay decently. Starting in race number 7, this competitive turf allowance going 1 1/8. I think a lot of arrows point in what say these direction. This horse that I felt like made a move into the fastest part of the race last time ended up getting well beaten in terms of positions, 7th, but only beaten 2 1/4 for everything. And I thought would get a great race flow here to have an inside out trip. There's a ton of speed signed on, not a lot of which I trust. Felt to me like What Say Thee was a decent place to plant a flag in this 7th race. Just out of curiosity, how did you see this one?
I'm right there with you. I thought as you know, one of the most likely winners of the day from one of the shorter priced horses, made that move and then absolutely had nowhere to go in the stretch. I'm right. Not sure it was going to be good enough to win that race, but you know, never had a chance to run there. And we've seen this one run much better than that. So I think this one makes a ton of sense in this race.
And then getting to the 8th race, the pay leg, this very interesting $100,000 maiden claimer where you can purchase for $100,000 a full to flight line. Pretty interesting stuff with this number 8, Olivier. Surely he could go stand somewhere on that blood. I'd be very curious to see if anybody reaches in and takes number 8, Olivier. But that's not the one I'm interested in the race. I thought that number 7, Practical Thought, was pretty interesting in this race. And it's one of these things where I just think the trip is going to be perfect. I love the outside. I love the 7 of 8 draw going 7/8, giving the rider options. Horse seemed to be all right in the first start as a gelding. Didn't really improve markedly speed figure wise or anything, but attitude wise, I thought was definitely a lot better. And I think we'll be able to get a position maybe in the second flight and be able to finish past the speeds. I just didn't really trust the 1 or the 8. Felt like the 7 was a decent place to go. And that was the double I was going to try to play. I may do some backups, et cetera, as I look more and more. But I was definitely going to have some cold double here with the 2 in race 7 into the 7 in race 8. Really quickly before we end Wednesday's show, what did you like in this 8th race?
I'm pretty much right there with you. I think that's exactly how I started off the paragraph on race 8 is that you can buy $100,000, get the full brother to flight line. And to me that's just telling you that they're trying to get the most value for this horse right now, because I just don't think this horse has it. So I'm not using the 8. I'm not crazy about the 1. Just like you said, I just think that one might need one more race. Really kind of ran his best race in that 3rd race in the form cycle last time out. Practical Thought's the one for me in this race. I thought that was a good field that he faced in a really sloppy track on Risen Star Day at the fairgrounds. And like I said, I do think I thought that second start was very professional. Kind of paired those buyer figures, suggesting to me that he's going to take a step forward. I like the 7 furlong distance. I think that hits him right in the, I think that's going to be really beneficial for him in this spot.
Good stuff. All right, we'll leave it there for Wednesday. Eric, you'll be back with us for a Thursday show as well. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all the great work you do over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. Thanks to our friends at Keeneland for sponsoring these shows. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos.